You're listening to The Sports Rabbi, hosted by Josh Halichman.
All right, we're back here with the Sports Rabbi, Josh Halichman. Welcome aboard to the Sports Rabbi Show. We bring you the best of Israeli sports all the way up north in Aria, down south, Eilat, and all the great cities in between Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, and many, many more. And if you like this podcast, and I know that you do, make sure you subscribe to us, leave us a five-star rating, write us a nice review. Of course, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts, check us out at the Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, sportsrabbi.com. For the latest and greatest news, both in English and in Hebrew, we deliver it to you in both languages. We are the only website to have sports in both Hebrew and in English. Of course, we are in episode number 451. If you missed episode 450, make sure you listen to Jeffrey Gurach, the author of the brand new Marty Glickman book. That was excellent. Came out earlier in the week. I know people are celebrating holidays. People are on vacation right now. But we're going to, you know, there is sports and there's plenty of sports going on here in Israel, both soccer, basketball, men's, women's, whatever you want. And to talk about the basketball action, of course, we bring on Ben Pask, and we're going to start off right with Maccabi Tel Aviv. How you doing today, Ben Pask? What's going on?
Josh, thanks for having me. And I got a shout out for that interview. It was fantastic. I'm obviously from Australia and I didn't grow up knowing Marty Glickman at all, but it was a fantastic interview. Looks like a great book, and I'm looking forward to getting my copy and reading through it.
Great. Sounds like good stuff there, Ben Pask. Maccabi Tel Aviv, Ben, they win. They come back after a crazy type of week where Maccabi Tel Aviv had been in Israel with just the Israelis. They played two league games. They won one, they lost one. They come back in Žalgiris in Lithuania, 78-70 winners, Maccabi Tel Aviv are. It was interesting. Oded Katash, after the game, had a very long press conference. There were a lot of Lithuanians. You know, people in Lithuania, they like their basketball, and there was a lot of writers there, and there were a lot of questions. They asked all the tough questions as well, Ben, about the foreigners not coming and, you know, playing next week again in Lithuania against Fenerbahce. It's a Fenerbahce home game, and on and on and on and on. He answered all of them. It was interesting to listen to. It's just, it's unfortunate that, you know, us, the Israeli press, never really get a chance to, you know, we had one press conference last week of like three questions and then they cut us all off, which was, you know, but that's unfortunately par for the course these days where we, you know, don't really, the Israeli press somehow doesn't have much of a chance to talk to any of the players or coaches. Maccabi Tel Aviv 78-70 winners, 22 points from Josh Nebo. He was very strong on the paint. However, he came up with an injury at the end of the game. Well, the Tatars, like I said, they're going to have to take a look at it. They are not sure what his status will be. So they think he'll be okay, but they have to look at it today and they will let us know. Tamir Blatt, excellent game, 14 points, 8 assists. He was superb. 11 points, Lorenzo Brown. 11 points, Roman Sorokin, who had 8 straight points in the third quarter to really start pulling away from Žalgiris. 11 points for Bonzi Colson. John DiBartolomeo, no points in 18 minutes, but I got to tell you, Ben, he put on such a show defensively. He was absolutely spectacular and intelligent. They really missed him. When you were watching the game, and I looked afterwards, and you see no points in 18 minutes, I'm like saying, wow. I'm not saying John was the MVP of the game, right? It was definitely Josh Nebo, and there were other people there, but John DiBartolomeo was huge for Maccabi Tel Aviv. On the other side, Keenan Evans with 18 points. But I got to say this, he was 0 for 6 from 3. So the 18 points he scored, but they weren't really critical 18 points. 14 points for Edmund Sumner, who went for a trio of triples to begin in the middle of the first quarter that kind of gave Žalgiris a little bit of a lead, and then Maccabi started to inch back. And, of course, our good old friend as well, Austin Hollins, played 5 minutes and had 2 points. Ben, an important win. They finished the first round of EuroLeague games at 10-7. Considering that they're playing in, their home games in Belgrade, to walk away with a 10-7 record after the first round is really quite an accomplishment, isn't it?
No, that, the 10-7, 4-3 away. You got I know may not have, you know, Žalgiris isn't the best team. They're definitely not a playoff team, but still to be able to be 4-3 away, it's going to be difficult with 10 more away games coming up in the second round. But I think that we obviously we're going to be critical, and people have been very critical of a lot of things, but given the circumstances at the moment, I'm happy as a Maccabi fan. We're seeing basketball, they're playing, giving their best to debatable each game. It changes, but I don't think we can really expect much more from them. As a fan, I'm happy.
Yeah, well, you're not happy not being able to go to the games, but I guess you're
no,
happy.
Of course.
Happy
but even
you're happy with the results. That's the
yeah. We can talk about, I don't know if we want to go into the Israeli league, but even not having the foreign players here for the last couple of games, being able to see the Israelis, and you mentioned Roman Sorkin earlier, he's been an absolute star in Israel, which is understandable.
Yeah. And Rafi Menko as well. Rafi Menko played extremely well, and I got to tell you, Rafi Menko played nicely last night. He made some mistakes. A couple of boo-boos, but whatever. He was fine all in all. Tamir Blatt didn't look great in the Israeli games, but you know he put his money where his mouth is when the chips were on the table in the EuroLeague. I mean, if you can get those numbers out of him, Maccabi Tel Aviv's in sixth place right now, tied with two other teams that are 10-7: Panathinaikos and Fenerbahce. Fenerbahce they have next week. Monaco is 9-7. They play Friday night, so they may be 10-7. So. You know, Maccabi is in a good spot right now. They're in a very good spot. They play Monaco next week as well. Monaco at home, quote-unquote, in Belgrade. And you also have Fenerbahce on the road, which will be really on the road for them as well. But all in all, listen, Žalgiris, not a very good team, Ben. But you are playing in front of a packed arena, which is a huge advantage. And they haven't played really in front of any packed arenas. 15,000 fans. Great fans there, but they got the job done, and that's, I guess, what you can, what you want to see from Maccabi Tel Aviv right now is just getting the job done. And the most amazing thing is we haven't mentioned really at all Wade Baldwin, who's out injured. They said that he actually probably could have played last night, but they decided an hour before the game to just wait for another few days for him to get back, which is fine. I don't have any issue with that. And Lorenzo Brown was okay. He didn't take the team on his shoulders yesterday. He played okay, but listen, that's what makes this even more amazing is that Brown and Baldwin have been hot and cold or not non-existent for these first 17 games, Ben.
Yeah, last night as well, Brown not such a great game for him, but 5 assists to 6 turnovers, which you don't want to see it balanced that way on the stat sheet. But
he was 1-for-6 from three. He wasn't great from three. He didn't have a great game. 4-for-10 from two. He was okay.
Like you said, Tamir Blatt, he comes in and he lifts them up. He does his part. Jondy on the defense. And it was the same when we saw him live last week in the Israeli league. Like, just to have him back, his presence is, you can't measure, it's immeasurable. Not even looking at the defense, what he does, but just his presence on the court and the energy that he brings. It's like really, it's something that with everything else that's been going on, I don't think it's been really recognized enough how much we have missed John, the captain of the team. But he comes off the bench, so he doesn't have the same, I guess, overall presence from the outside as someone like Brown or Baldwin have, but John's amazing to have him back in the team, and I think it gives a lot of hope going into the next round of games.
And Rafi Menko was a plus 15, for example, in the game. Well, that's good stuff. Next week, they have Monaco, and they also have, of course, Fenerbahce. Fenerbahce agrees to move their home game, Ben, to Lithuania, to Ponovic. You're going to play in Ponovic.
We spoke about this a few weeks ago now, maybe a month ago now, that the Turkish team is playing at home. Should they be moving the games? And I know you were very against that. It's not their fault. The Israeli government has said that it's too dangerous.
I find it hugely impressive that Fenerbahce agreed to do this. I mean, they're taking one of their home games and they're going to play it in front of no one in the nowheres of Lithuania now. Obviously, Sharas, the head coach who played for Maccabi, who has very good connections with Maccabi, is obviously behind this, this decision, right? I mean, it's he obviously has a big sway, and you have to give him a lot of credit for this. But, you know, I've seen some online reaction from some of the Fenerbahce fans. Why is Maccabi in the EuroLeague? Why aren't they treated like the Russian teams? They should be thrown out. You know,
and Fenerbahce voted against him being in the
right
league this season, right?
Yeah. So, you know, there's all kinds of things you can say there, right? But, Maccabi should be kissing their, thanking their lucky stars for this. Let me tell you that.
Ben. And looking at you, Fenerbahce is one of those teams that's also at 10-7. Not like they're way ahead or they're way behind. We need to give him credit, like you said. It's very impressive.
Yeah. Apollo Tel Aviv, 118-101 winners over Hamburg Towers. And a game that Apollo Tel Aviv saw a debut from Des Wells, who had 16 points. Without him, Danny Franco said they probably wouldn't have won. Baltimore, 21 points. 18 points from Carl Alexander. 18 points from John Holland. 15 from Munford. 14 from Gil Benny. 14 from Zalmanson. I mean, it's just... it's quite amazing, and that's with a number of major players out. No Brian Angola, no Jacoven Brown, no Tomer Gignat. I mean, the list goes on and on there. No Jalen Horde. Will Cummings arrived. He arrived in Israel. He should be playing. I don't know if he'll be playing Saturday night against Kiryat Atta or not, but it's like really amazing, actually. I mean, it's very impressive, I guess. I mean, I know the Hamburg is not a very good team. 23 points from Alexander Ziwa, but that was about it. Apollo Tel Aviv also, we should mention, we were at a game that we were at, defeated Hapoel Jerusalem 109-100. They did not have players, Hapoel Tel Aviv. And we saw literally the game of the season, without a doubt. Hapoel Jerusalem had most of their foreigners there, but they did not have their biggest foreigner, their head coach, Alexander Djikic, on the sidelines. And Apollo Tel Aviv, at their home arena in the drive-in, were able to win that game. They came back at halftime. They were down 56-47, Apollo Tel Aviv was, and they won. I mean, it's just, Apollo Tel Aviv just keeps winning, and they keep adding players. If there's injuries, Ben, I mean, you got to give credit to the team. You got to give credit to management and ownership.
I don't know if it's only in Australia the saying that a championship team will always beat a team of champions. And I'm not saying that Apollo Tel Aviv is that level, that they're a championship team. But I've got to say that they're doing so well. They're presenting themselves well as a team off the court as well. Having the players... You haven't had a situation where none of the foreigners have come like Jerusalem have. Even the start of the Israeli league, they've had a minimum, I think, two players came. They're continuing to come. They're performing in the Israeli league. They're performing in Europe. They're 10-2, only behind Paris at the moment, which is Paris is, I think, clearly a head above the rest now.
Yes.
I think they've got Wolves coming up next week at a theoretical home game, but again, not in front of the crowd. They beat Wolves a few weeks ago away. They're looking good, and I'm really enjoying watching them play and seeing just the organization, how far it has come. Obviously, there are the issues that they have with the fans, which even, I don't know about you, but looking at the fans, I feel like there is an improvement from that point as well. It's just amazing to see from an Israeli basketball perspective, and from Tel Aviv overall. It's really, really like a lot of challenges ahead, but they're great teams to watch, and I'm looking forward to seeing how they can go forward 2024 and how they can manage these injuries, and if they can continue to put the results up with these big injuries.
We talk about Hapoel Jerusalem here for a minute. Now, they have a couple of league games coming up this week against Be'er Sheva on Monday night and then Hapoel Haifa on Friday afternoon. The word on the street is that, Alexander Djikic, what is the story with their head coach? And there is so much here to unpack, Ben. There were reports last night that he has accepted and will be able to take the job of the Georgian national team head coach. Now, that was something that had come up a number of months ago, and ownership refused him to take that job. Now, then the war
starts. Which ownership was it?
Metan Adelson, the current ownership.
The new it.
The current ownership, the new current ownership, refused him to take that job. Now, you have a situation where the war starts. Jikic came back to Israel for one game and didn't come back for, you know, now for personal reasons. One of his assistants slash physiotherapist, whatever, also didn't come back. You had Cheryl Archik and Nikopoulos, I think coaching, if I pronounced his name correctly there. I hope I did. You know, the game for Jerusalem. Theodosius Yannikopoulos, excuse me. You saw them give up 109 points. A team under Jikic would never allow 109 points in a game. I don't really care what's going on. Now, he said something interesting in the press conference when he was here, that things are not in his control and he doesn't like that. Well, maybe perhaps he wasn't talking about the war. And maybe the talk is that, is he really afraid to come back to Israel or not afraid to come back to Israel? He did come, then he didn't come. Maybe the whole situation of him not coming back was this Georgia national team, which is probably what it is. I don't know for anything for fact, but obviously he wanted that job and he wasn't happy. And is that the reason, not the reason? Who knows? But because everything's very under the shadows, you know? Everywhere is like, you don't hear anything. You don't really know what's going on in Maccabi Tel Aviv. You don't really know what's going on in Apol Jerusalem. You do know what's kind of going on in Apol Tel Aviv. But, it's just an odd situation. But I guess that was it, Ben. I mean, that must have been it. But we'll see. Is Jikic going to be on a plane coming back to coach this team this week against really a Beersheba team that is not very good? They're not good. And a Hapoel Haifa team that is now much better. Because they have a head coach in Guy Gudas managing the team and somebody that's kind of whipped whatever players he does have into shape. And there's some injuries over there, and he's going to have to make some changes. There's talk about Eric Griffin coming back, and Jackson Stormo was hurt, and they were releasing Marvin Clark, but then they couldn't release Marvin. They told him he was released, and then they couldn't tell him he was released because they found out the Stormo was hurt, so they needed the extra foreigner or whatever. I mean, this is what it's going to be. There's no, ifs, ands, or buts about it here. The situation is not easy. It's not simple. And there's a lot going on. And, everybody has their own interests as well, Ben.
It's amazing how everything that's happening, praise to Hapoel Tel Aviv and other teams, that the way that the teams themselves in this difficult situation because of the war and the situation that the teams are being put in from, the powers that be above. A lot of them are doing a fantastic job in really difficult circumstances, and we can talk about how the league isn't the same quality as it has been and as we want it to be, but credit to the teams. But you look at Jerusalem and they have the talent on the sheet and the roster they really shouldn't have lost that game on Sunday night against Hapoel Tel Aviv. But like you said, I think it makes a difference when the head coach isn't there, and we see how much of a difference it can make. There's questions, who's actually coaching the team? I think it's definitely affecting the players as well. Can they come back? They should beat Beersheba on, Monday night in Jerusalem, but who knows? And I don't think it's going to be an easy game then next Friday against Haifa. Haifa, not one of those top teams in Israel, but still beat Maccabi Tel Aviv. Yadi Eliyahu, only the Israeli players, I know, but they still managed to get the win. Guy Gudas, just look at the comparison between a team with a good coach there and a team without their head coach there. It's amazing. But, we'll see what Jerusalem can do, how they can get out of this rut that they're in.
Yeah, let's look at the other games that took place this week. Afula falls to Maccabi Ramat Gan 71-63. Kiryat Ata with a huge win over Holon 86-82. I mean, they were just fantastic. James Bateman with 24 points. 15 points, Amin Stevens, Ben Saraf, and Raz Adam, 10 points apiece over there. That was a big win. And we saw again Cologne kind of choking it up near the end, just as they did in Europe. And they have a big European game coming up this week in Basketball Champions League when they play Ustend. They can't get near the end of the game and choke up the games. And that is somewhat of a bit of the inexperience of the head coach and Amit Sherifban. There's no question they did sign a new player in DeAndre Burns. He's going to be available for the game in Europe next week, replacing Nick Johnson. But you can see some, that is, I like Amit Sherifban. I think we all do, but we see the little bit of inexperience there. End of games, doesn't know how to get his guys to get over the hump when they need him to, Ben. And that's going to be critical. 63-63 going into the fourth quarter. You need to make sure your guys are fully focused and you win that game, Ben.
Yeah, a big week for them in Europe. I mean, it was the home, again, the theoretical home game
And that's
next
in
week, and then
Hungary, and that's
six
going to be
days.
played in Hungary, by the way,
Yeah, and
not in
then there's
Riga.
a six days later, they're playing against them away. It's it only gets more difficult, and it's going to be very challenging for them. And they're, well, like we say, a lot of times with teams, when it gets to a critical part of the year, they need to get their act together and get it together quick. It's a big challenge for them.
Yeah, no question there. Also, a lot 83-80 winners over Roma Gunn and Bnei Herzliya 80-66 winners as well. Now that really takes us through and the women's we have big women's games this week. We had quarter final action in State Cup, Ben. What went on? Can you let us know? But I do know this, that Levi Yerushalayim had big time trouble against Maccabi Haifa in a game that they should have really easily won, and they just were having all kinds of fits throughout the 40 minutes until they finally beat them.
Yeah, so it came away with an 81-71 win, but the same as what we're seeing in the men's league. We've got a lot of turnover of players. First, there were no foreigners there, but Jenny Fleischer coming in for Alex Cohen, who left a few weeks ago. It's not easy for any of the teams. We'll talk about the teams that are sort of separating themselves. Other big win for Ramat Hasharon over Ashdod, 65-49. Elitzur Holon went down to Hapoel Rishon LeZion. That's looking at teams at opposite ends of the spectrum in terms of how they're going. It was a 100 to 50 win for Rishon. And one of the games of the round, which we'll see again in a couple of weeks in the league action, Maccabi Ramat Gan lost to Elitzur Ramle 85 to 80. And that was the quarterfinals of the State Cup. We'll go to the league now, and those two teams, Ramat Gan and Ramle, undefeated, and they're playing against each other in a couple of weeks, which will be exciting. Quickly go over the results from last week. You had Ramle defeating Ashdod in a replay of last season's final series, 75 to 60. Ramat Gan 67-64 winners over Hapoel Rishon LeZion. Petach Tikva over the struggling Maccabi Haifa team, 76-61. Elitzur Holon lost at home to Ramat Hasharon, 62-54. And the Jerusalem Derby, Asa Ben Piav of Yerushalayim, another really struggling team, lost to the team we were speaking about just before, Hapoel Lev Yerushalayim, 47-80. So we're seeing in the women's league some great games, but a lot of games where you really see the difference between the best and the rest, unfortunately.
Yeah, no question there. Of course, I want to hear the Ben Pass, Sports Rabbi. Before we get to the soccer, Ben, Yiftach Ziv made his debut for Saint-Quentin. Also, there are two other Israeli slash Jewish players on that team you should know. One of them is Will Raymond, who is also a national team player, as well as William Pfister, who played for the French Maccabiah team last year when they were here for the Maccabiah game. So, interestingly enough, they played his debut against Bourg, and they lose 86-71. But Yiftach Ziv with 12 points, he looked extremely good, extremely active, really nice. I want to. He got a raw deal in Granada. I'm sure we'll hear about that at some point. I don't know when, but it was clear that he wasn't playing because of probably political reasons and not because of his basketball capabilities. They wanted to get rid of him quickly after the war started. That was clear. And they were finally able to do that. And listen, I wish them the best of luck. I think Quinton is one of the, upper table teams. So that's good. Ben, wish them luck.
Best of luck to him. The times are, met him a couple of times. Has always seemed like someone who's matured a lot of years and seems like a good guy as well. He's had his troubles last couple of seasons at Maccabi as well for different reasons. But before that, we saw him up in Galilee. It was a really lucky.
Spectacular.
He's the best Israeli player in the league. And
Yeah.
unfortunately, like what happens to a lot of players, they come to Maccabi and it doesn't necessarily work for them. But hopefully he can continue to grow and turn out to be the player that a lot of people were hoping that he could be. I mean, is what is he, mid 20s, mid to late 20s now? If
Yeah. I mean,
that's it.
his good year. I mean, he took his team to the finals against Maccabi Tel Aviv. I mean, they went. They
Yeah.
took. They took. He took Maccabi to the. To the finals. Think about that for a minute. He's a good player. Now he's not everybody's taste. We get that. He's not your traditional point guard. He's not going to play like Tamir Blatt and give you eight assists. It's just not going to happen. He's more of a point guard that likes to drive to the basket. He likes to have control. I don't look at him as a shooting guard. His shot is not spectacular, though he hit his three pointers yesterday. I mean, he had his first three. He looked good. He looked really good. He looked like he was in shape. I think it's a good spot for him. It's a quiet little town. It's like in the middle of nowhere. It's a Saint Quentin. It's like an hour and a half outside of Paris, I think. There's no Jews. There's no nothing. There's one synagogue. I don't even know if it's open. It's like there's nothing going
Yeah.
there. It's like a totally
Don't
in the middle of nowhere.
know if you know, but our good friend Guy Solomon, he told me his family, he has family there, and he's visited the town quite a lot. He said it's a lovely place and he's happy to see Yiftach there. So it's unknown, but not completely unknown. And
Yeah.
again, hopefully it's the place where he can
Yeah,
kick start his career.
it's very interesting about Guy Solomon that I did hear.
Yeah.
All right, soccer wise, there were some crazy scores here. Finally, Beitar Jerusalem, Hapoel Beer Sheva, 4-4 draw. When is the last time an Israeli league game had eight goals, Ben? That's quite amazing. Adiona, the youngster, with a goal. Alon Turzman opened up the scoring. Grigor Morozov with a goal. Yarden Shua with a stunner. It was a crazy game. 4-4, split the points. Hapoel Tel Aviv crushes Hapoel Petah Tikva 4-1. Omer Senior with a brace in that game. Hapoel Haifa gets by Maccabi Netanya 2-1. After that game, Netanya's coach Ron Kuz excuse me, even before that, Ron Kuzjuk had been fired. That was Dan Roman's first game in charge. Bnei Reina and Hapoel Jerusalem 1-1 draw. Sakhnin 1-0 winners over Ashdod. Then we have Maccabi Tel Aviv getting by Maccabi Petah Tikva 2-1. And of course, who scored a second half free kick goal to win the game? It was none other than Ben Ehran Zahavi. He keeps scoring, he keeps winning. Maccabi Haifa cruises by Hapoel Hedera 5-1. And of course, Eli Hajjaj with a brace. But the big news out of out of Maccabi Haifa is that they made a big signing. Gadi Kinda will return from Sporting Kansas City, will return to Israel, and he has been signed by the Greens. Most probably will take over the spot that will be vacated by Dia Saba. Also, a double week as it has always been here. We have Hapoel Be'er Sheva drubbing Hapoel Haifa 4-0. So you're talking now Be'er Sheva with eight goals in less than a week. Rotem Hatuel with a brace in that win. Jerusalem with a big victory 2-1 over Hapoel Tel Aviv. Netanya 1-0 winners over Hapoel Hadera. Then you have the next set of games, Maccabi Tel Aviv 1-0 winners over Beitar Jerusalem. Yonatan Cohen scores late in the game to give the yellow and blue the points, and they just keep winning. Maccabi Haifa eases past Bnei Reina 1-0 on Lior Rafaelov's goal. Maccabi Petah Tikva defeats Hapoel Petah Tikva 2-0 in the Petah Tikva Derby. So that is good news for Benny Lam over there. They're trying to move away from the bottom of the table and avoid relegation. Hapoel Hedera 1-0 winners over Bnei Sakhnin in that game. Looking forward to the games coming up this week, Ben. We'll talk about both leagues. And then I want to bring up a topic before we let you go. Petah Tikva hosts Hapoel Jerusalem. That is Hapoel Petah Tikva. Bnei Reina hosts Bnei Sakhnin. Hedera welcomes in Netanya. Ashdod will welcome in Be'er Sheva. Then on Sunday, Beitar Jerusalem hosts Maccabi Petah Tikva. Hapoel Haifa will welcome Maccabi Tel Aviv, and Maccabi Haifa Hapoel Tel Aviv at Bloomfield Stadium to finish off the weekend and to go into the New Year's. In the basketball scene, of course, Hapoel Holon playing on Friday against Hapoel Haifa. Saturday night, Hapoel Tel Aviv Kiryat Ata. Sunday, you have Eilat and a Galil Elyon. Monday, Bnei Herzliya Nes Ziona, and then Hapoel Jerusalem Be'er Sheva. Later on in the week, on Thursday, Hapoel Afula Galil Elyon, and then Friday, Hapoel Jerusalem and Hapoel Haifa. Before we let you go, Ben, interesting topic here. An interview done with one of the Lumit League head coaches who is serving in Miluim, runs back and forth to his team in Maladumim to coach them. He came out this week, and the Sports Rabbi is going to have a big piece in the Jerusalem Post next week about this. He came out and basically said, and his father backed him up on this, is that how is the Lumit League and all the leagues actually going to relegate teams? And that is a big deal. I mean, we know nobody's really talked about it. It's a big situation. But let's be honest here. Some of the teams, especially in the Lumit, have players that are in Miluim that are not playing. You have coaches that are in Miluim that are not playing, that are not coaching on a regular basis. You have players that, you know, they originally thought the league was going to be with foreigners, and then they built their team with foreigners in mind, which is what the Maladumim coach, Yergurts, did. And then you're not allowed to bring in foreigners, and you have to fill certain positions that they perhaps weren't able to fill. I know everybody's playing on quote-unquote level playing field here, but in essence, it's really not. Ben, how are the leagues going to really relegate teams? Now, promotion, we could theoretically see a promoted team into the Israeli top league because that would make four teams. It would make, kind of make sense to have an even amount. How are we?
And that's the direction they're heading in anyway, I think.
Yeah. Except, well, the teams don't want to do that because then they have to split the pie a little bit more. But how is it possible that you're going to relegate teams? Now, I know in the soccer league is a little bit different, and I wrote about this in this long piece that's going to be in the magazine next week. You know, the soccer teams don't necessarily rely on the foreigners. There's a huge amount of Israelis. You know, you're allowed 5-6 foreigners at maximum on a soccer team that has so many players. In basketball, you know, you can have 5 foreigners, and that's like more than half of the players that are going to play. How are you relegating the teams? The coaches are in the press conference are saying this is unsportsmanlike. The winning coaches are saying that. The league and the Israel Basketball Association has to come to some kind of collusion here, Ben.
I haven't thought a lot about this, but it is something that I've thought about a little bit. And I don't see it as fair to have relegation promotion this season. Promotion if you have, you know, like one team come up, if that's the direction the league wants to head in. But it's one thing to say that the league's on a level playing field, and on the other hand, you can't compare it to other seasons. And I mean, I'm looking at the Israeli league as well, where they have no foreign players. You see the disadvantage that it has for, you know, a team like Ashdod, which has probably the best coach, one of the best women's coaches ever, Shira Halayon, who were relying a lot on foreign players like, you know, Kalani Brown, it was coming across, and it completely throws the season. It turns it upside down. And it's the same in the Israeli league. Right now we're looking at, you know, Hapoel Jerusalem would be relegated. I don't think it's in anyone's interest for one of the top teams to be relegated because of issues that have come and arisen due to the war. It's something that they obviously need to think about a lot, but I struggle to see how they would want to do this to teams which are in enough trouble as it is financially and everything like it. Yeah, we've heard, you know, Galil Elyon especially, where they can't even play at home because they're having sirens every day up north. I think they need to look at it and take a good look at it and see what they do about it. But I don't think that, I agree, I don't think that they can do The relegations this season, but again, we're not the ones making decisions, and the people make their decisions and using whatever metrics, whatever thought process they have, which we may not understand, but we'll see what they come up with and when they come up with it as well. But I'd like to see an announcement soon because I think it's important for everyone to know what's happening.
Well, listen, we know the league's been fairly quiet about everything. I mean, that's been unfortunately par for the course. Quiet, there's nobody really making any statements. We did see Kevin Rubin in action in Beersheba. That's the big news. Kevin Rubin is in action. So now I feel that the big signing that the league made over the offseason is being put to good use. So that's good news. Kevin Rubin is making fans in Beersheba happy. But yeah, now listen,
I'm gonna say, I've seen him a lot on the court of Maccabi the last couple of seasons, following on our social media as well. Just make it clear, it's nothing against Kevin Rubin in that comment.
no. I don't know Kevin Rubin from a hole in the wall, but it's
Yeah, no, but I don't know him either. But from everything I see, he seems like a great guy. So it's
you want to get a pic? You want to get a selfie with him? Like
I'd love
the chairman of the league, you
to.
can get a picture with him there. Yeah, so that's really, I mean, the relegation, I mean, really has to be dealt with. And they kind of alluded to it when they put out a statement a couple of weeks ago that they're going to deal with it, but they really need to deal with it sooner rather than later, Ben. I mean, it's a tough situation right now. They got to figure it out. But that's it. Ben, where can people reach out to you?
Yeah, reach out to me on Twitter or Instagram, BPASK85.
And of course, me, the Sports Rabbi, at the Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, sportsrabbi.com for the latest and greatest news, both in English and in Hebrew. We deliver it to you in both languages. Make sure to check us out all over the place. One final question for you, Ben, because I still have a tiny little bit of time left here. Are we going to have EuroLeague basketball in Israel this season? Yes or no?
No.
Okay, see that. I still believe maybe in April, that last game and then the playoffs. I'm still
Yeah, I don't want to get my hopes up either.
I don't see it any time before that. I do see a big push potentially. Now it also depends on what happens with our friends up north in Hezbollah, but I do see a slight possibility, like a chance, right? Not a huge chance, but a chance. Are Maccabi going to make it to the playoffs of the EuroLeague? Yes or no?
I want to say yes, but I think I'll make the play-in.
Okay. They're going to make, okay. I agree. I think they're going to make the play-in. I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs. Could Maccabi Tel Aviv make it to the Final Four? Is that a possibility?
Possibility, yes. Realistic, I doubt it.
All right. There you
It's
have
not
it.
only, and this is not only about Maccabi, it's about the other teams. Look at
Of course, no.
the Spanish teams,
Bologna's having a great season. Yeah, no, 100%. Ben Pask, an honor and a pleasure as always. Wishing everybody a Shabbat Shalom from the land of Israel.